Crows Chat with Ebony Marinoff.
Ebony Marinoff on the left gets the first for the Crows.
And Tomo.
Massive week in football.
Massive show on Triple M.
Adelaide Crows fans, hello to you. Welcome to Triple M's Crows Chat with Ebony Marinoff and Tomo. And she's back. She's been sunning herself for 3 weeks up north. She left me hanging last week. Ebs, great to see you, mate.
Oh, it's good to be here. Glad to have the duo back together. Yeah, sorry about last week.
What happened? If you missed it last week, Crows fans, basically I got in here a little bit before 9 o'clock when we were on air Sunday morning. I had to call you live and you're up in Broadbeach or somewhere.
Yeah, no, I think it was actually Burley, Tomo. Come on, get it right. But no, I left you out to dry, but I promise I won't leave you again, so hopefully we've got segments week by week now.
I like it, mate. Well, I've put you to work this week because you've actually caught up with Jack Madgen, which has been absolutely super. A really cool story to tell that he's got.
Yeah, absolutely. I think naturally you always find out new things when you have a good chat, and Jack Madge isn't awesome. I didn't even get to touch on that he was our forward lines coach.
Yep.
A little bit last year. He helped out with the defence as well when MJ Rajic had a baby. Brody Smith had a couple of weddings.
Yep.
He left us out to dry a couple of games last year. We had Scott Burns jump in and, the girls loved him. And, yeah, it's a great story, just through the American basketball system.
Unreal.
And then NBL and Collingwood and now Crows.
NBL, college basketball, Collingwood Football Club, and now the captain of the Sandville side. Brilliant.
Literally done it all.
Yeah.
And sister is the captain of the Opals.
Yeah, insane. That story to come very, very shortly. Ebs went one-on-one with Jack. Imagine, you mentioned Brody Smith there, celebrated 250 games on Friday night. So we'll pay tribute to the great man.
Yeah, oh, God. An absolute phenomenal player, and always love watching South Australian kids come through the pathway, and he is one of them. I went to school at St. Mick's and he was just down at Henley High.
Yep.
So I think we've got common people who we know, everyone knows everyone in Adelaide, but the West Side and his dad Gordo and mum Tracy and his sister Hayley. Well, Hayley bloody could have probably played footy herself back in Henley High, but just a great family. And yeah, I think when you look and probably reflect, 250 games at AFL is amazing achievement, and you
great
probably
effort.
Don't really reflect or appreciate it until you reach such a milestone, because it's huge.
Yeah, totally. And I've noticed that we're at Spinny for half an hour this morning and you still haven't said Happy Easter to me. So here's your Easter egg, Ebs. There you go.
Cadbury. After Cadbury.
A little Sunday,
not a red tulip.
Little Sunday morning treat for you. So hopefully everyone is having a fantastic Easter long weekend.
Crows Chat.
Smith's had a good start. Gets one round the back to really frank the good start. Thumps it. Doing damage against the Blues again.
Of course, gather round last year and Brody Smith kicking a goal around the back from Roy Laird, if you don't mind, from outside 50, celebrated his 250th game on Friday night, Ebs. And I know he means a lot to you. You've had some involvement with him in the AFLW program, but what a player he has been for the Adelaide Crows.
Oh, sensational. And we go reflect back on gather round. I remember that game quite fondly.
Oh.
The boys were on absolute fire. Mm. I think we'd kick 7-8 unanswered goals. Smithers has been an incredible player and just such a great person and a family man to have around the club. His parents are both heavily involved at the footy club. I think Gordo runs the parents chat and gets everyone together week in, week out, and they travel to every game. But just amazing ability to be able to hit targets. And one of the things that reminds me of his career is just his handball receive and his run and carry. Probably, understated at times. Mm. He's certainly won games on the back of his foot, just regenerating from the rebounding 50. And, such an achievement to play 250 games at one club. And I'm sure he'll be so proud considering he did come from, Henley High, and he just lives in Tennyson. So he certainly is at his grassroots.
Nah, that's fantastic. Made his debut in 2011 as well. And I remember the night, I heard him touch on it throughout the week, if I'm being honest, about the low point in his career where he did his ACL in the qualifying final against GWS. I was there at the game at Adelaide Oval, and it was really, he was such a pivotal part of that side as well. So, for him to miss that grand final was heartbreaking, really. But he's come back, and, a lot of the Crows boys have as well, Ebs, in terms of ACL and being able to get back. We've had Sloaney, Tex, Smithers, and Nick Murray's doing it at the moment. So it's hats off to him.
Yeah, and Nick Murray, you talk about him, he's an absolute beast, and I'm actually worried or concerned for the oppositions that have to hit him in the back end of the season. But, I think just like the adversity that he was facing, yeah, as Crows fans, I remember it so fondly. Like, it was an absolute buzz those 2 weeks of the finals leading up to the Charge to make the AFL Grand Final back in 2016. And, yeah, he had a like huge season, as did a lot of the mature boys that year. And you could feel the trajectory of his form heading into that. And, yeah, you picture it. He was devastating. But one thing I do remember, the year Ronnie came back so early, like he nailed his rehab, so diligent as you have to be, and you do have the resources at AFL to do so. But I remember, I think he came back at like the 10 and a half months.
Did he really? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember there's a photo, when he was got approved for training, and I remember seeing, because you watch them go through the rehab and adversity, and it's hard. And, you know, going through a longer term injury myself last year, you do have an appreciation because it's not easy, and you have to be mentally with it and have great people around you. And yeah, he's really been a pivotal part of the last few years when the club has, you know, gone through so many highs and lows and been a part of the leadership group. And yeah, I think it's, yeah, a testament to his ability to go through adversity with the ACL and AFL's hard yakker, and it's a 250 games.
Yep, well said, Ebs, and well done to Brody Smith on 250 large.
Crows Chat.
Triple M's Crows Chat with Ebony Marinoff and Tomo for your Sunday morning. Hopefully having a fantastic Easter long weekend out there, Adelaide. Now, we've got Easter this weekend, and next weekend might be a bigger one, Ebs. Gather round, hit South Australia again. Oh, I'm so, so excited.
Oh, me and you both. I think, yeah, being a South Australian, it's just such a huge energy buzz, and I feel like last year, like, everyone jumped on board. I think Virgin put on about 30 plus flights just to fulfill the demands of people wanting to come to Adelaide. And I think I remember getting a lot of talk of where should it go, you know, what state would embrace it the most. And I know we're probably biased being from South Australia, but just that sense of energy and love for AFL footy that it brings to the town.
And we've copped it, let's be brutally honest. Like, the Vics have had a crack at us, and don't you know, get me wrong, we hold our own and give as good as we get, I would like to think. But to be called a backwater, Adelaide and all this, it's so cool to showcase. And not only just Adelaide, but, you know, a couple of games up at Mount Barker as well, which is superb, and that showcases the beautiful Adelaide Hills.
Oh, stunning. And I think, you know, the infrastructure up there as well, that it brings, like, Stirling, Harndorf and all that, like, they're all getting busy now post-COVID because people are venturing, you know, a little bit further than their bubble. But I even remember speaking to a few of the boys from the Gold Coast that I think some of them played, or must have been Brisbane, at Norwood Oval. Like, the energy behind those ovals is fantastic. I mean, we play on it in AFLW. But, you know, sometimes when you do bring it local, you get that, like, community feel. Mm. The stands are packed out and a little bit of, like, brick to it, you know, it's got some heritage.
Yeah. I remember doing last year, we did a show on Triple M on Saturday morning, and then Tom Papley was on. It was sort of, early in the morning, sort of mid-afternoon. And he was up after his game on Friday night, just a couple of Shirazes up the Adelaide Hills. He made a hell of a time of it, Eb. So it is fantastic. And if you do get an opportunity to go down south, if you want to do that, you know, there's Victor Harbour and Encounter Bay and beautiful areas all over this great state. And we haven't even touched on the Barossa yet, Ebs.
I know. Well, this thing, like, even Melbourne, you know, they've staying in Adelaide for 5 days.
Is so that right?
Yeah. They're actually embracing, you know, having played Port on the weekend and then, you know, big game on Thursday night. Yeah. I think, the fact that they actually, you know, want to stay and embrace the state, train at local footy ovals. I think they're training down at West Adelaide. So we've got, you know, gyms and ovals to uphold AFL weekly trainings, and clubs are willing to do that. So an exciting time for the state, and the energy is a vibe. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be brilliant. Fingers crossed we get some good weather over next weekend and we can have a whole heap of fun here at Gather Round in 2024.
So welcome, Jack. Thanks for coming on my show today.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
God, we've got a big week. First game for the Sandful and you're taking captain at the helm.
Oh, It's been a good lead up. I think we've played, you know, 5 or 6 trial games, so the boys are definitely ready to get into the real stuff. And yeah, really excited. Looking forward to the challenge of being captain. And obviously, Ridey's the coach, or he's coaching this week as a head coach, so he's a former captain. So it's good to have his guidance and advice as well.
And you talk about his guidance, like, how's it been that transition? Because obviously, he did step down, and he's
gone away from playing, but now certainly he's taken the reins as coach.
Yeah, I guess he's given me like heaps of confidence, obviously, and tells me the stuff I do well. And then him and Mick Godden as well give me some good advice on what I can do better. And if you ever watch me play, I'm very passionate and very vocal sometimes, too much. So just about directing that in the right way and letting that, flourish at the right opportunities and reeling it in as well and directing my focus in the right manner.
You talk about that passion. Where's that come? You obviously played like basketball over in the States and went to college. It's a completely different ball game. But where did the passion for footy come from?
Well, there's just a passion in general, I guess. If you've ever seen, I'm the youngest of four and all my older siblings play on that line as well, on that edge. And I used to hear stories about my old man when he played for Flinders Park and he had a bit of footy, obviously, and he had, I guess you could call it passion, but a bit of aggro on the field as well. So I think it's definitely genetic and hereditary. So, we've all got it. And then just the passion for footy. I just grew up in the country and played all sports growing up and loved AFL. Grew up a Crows fan. Earliest memories of footy is the Crows playing in that grand final against North Melbourne. So, just love footy and the mateship it brings, I guess.
And the whole transition when you were playing over in the States and then came back into NBL, and like when did footy happen? You obviously came in as a Category B at Collingwood. Did you ever think that was, I guess, a goal for yourself? Or
it was funny because it was always like in the back of my mind. I had an uncle passed away last year, Matt Randell, who was a recruiter for the Crows and then went to Collingwood as a recruiter. And I remember like vividly like training. I'd play like a bad game in college and I'd be like practicing during the week. And I'm like, man, if this doesn't work out, I'll just go try footy. Like, because I was always in the back of my mind. Like, my coach was yelling at me. I'm like, man, I don't need this. I'll go play footy or try to play footy. So it was always in the back of my mind. And I guess I came back from college in 2016 in May, tried to play NBL and I got on for like one game, played like a minute for a whole season.
That was in Mount Gambier?
No, that was in Cairns.
Cairns.
So I played for the Cairns Taipans, and then in the off season I'd play in the NBL one, or then it was called the Seaball for the Mount Gambier Pioneers.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just knew, but like basketball just wasn't going the way I wanted it to. I was probably hit a bit of a plateau in my skill level as well. So I thought I'd give footy a go, and it was always, like I said, it was always a passion of mine, and probably my attributes translated for my basketball attributes translated the footy quite well, so I was able to get a trial with Collingwood, and the rest is history, I guess.
And can you touch on college basketball? Obviously it's very different to the hostile AFL. I mean, we're all, especially probably now being in South Australia, like, what's the differences? I think we have had women's transition from basketball and it just seems like a completely different ball game over there, from coaches, from studying and training.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing, like you said, studying, you're a student athlete, especially in Division II, where I played, you're definitely student first. So you have to pass your classes or you're ineligible to play. So that's the main thing. So it's not like you're just going over there and hooping. You actually got to go to class. And then the coaches, man, it's, I don't know if anyone's ever watched Last Chance U. It's on Netflix. There's a football one, there's a basketball one. And like, the coaches are pretty much exactly like what you see on the movies. Like, I got called a MF every day or a SOB, you know, every day. And
he was ruthless.
Yeah, he was intense. And I had it pretty easy. There was another Aussie on our team that probably, it was like, I guess, borderline bullying. Like, he got, I wish I was there for him a bit more in hindsight, but it was pretty rough. And especially on the other side of the world, like, you got no money. Like, I was hungry like every night, really. When the cafeteria closed, I mean, didn't have a car, so you couldn't go get food. So it was a different lifestyle. But having said that, it was awesome as well. Like, played with some really good players, met some really good people, met my wife over there, who's now living over here, obviously. But yeah, learn a lot of lessons. And I guess taking that into AFL, like, I'll never have a more challenging experience than that, I don't think, than living across the other side of the world, trying to study. And I was like 19, 20, like trying to figure it out all on your own was pretty tough.
And like, with your passion, are the fans over in watching college ball, they as just as passionate as AFL? I mean, you've been at two big clubs in Collingwood and Adelaide. is the fans and...
Yeah, it is, but like on a, you know, 100x smaller scale.
Yeah.
Because we had some games where there might have only been 500 people, but it was like the loudest. It was like a small gym we were playing in, and it was so loud that the camera filming the game like was all distorted
with
the noise. And then we had played in other games, like we played Ole Miss and Mississippi State when they were in like, I don't know, 10,000 seat stadiums, and there might have been like 5,000 people there. So even though you could hear like what everyone said, whereas that, you know, I've played on the MCG on Anzac Day, it's like 90 plus, and you can't really hear specific things being said, but like just the noise and the, you know, the, I guess the atmosphere there was something like you would never experience. You might experience it in the NFL, and that's probably it.
What was your highlight? Was that Anzac Day game? Like that?
Oh, in footy?
Yeah.
Well, I got dropped after one of the Anzac Day games, so I never really played great. Probably the highlight was beating West Coast in a elimination final in that COVID year. We won by a point over there. We had to quarantine. We were called the Dirty Pies all week in the media over there, and we won by a point, and that was one of the best. And the crowd, like, it wasn't even capacity. It was maybe 70%, because that's all they could have.
Yes.
But it was so loud. It was so, you know, electric in that state, and that was cool.
And shifting, I guess, over back to home in Adelaide, do you think that was an opportunity that was going to be at the forefront when you did get delisted by the Pies? Or
yeah, I was obviously real still aspirational to play AFL, and then when that sort of didn't work out, I was like, oh, what's next? I want to get into like the coaching or well-being space at a football club, and it was between, you know, a couple of clubs, and when the Crows came up, I was like, oh, couldn't have picked a better situation, though, being closer to home. Obviously a great club, the club I grew up playing for. And I guess a little icing on top was the Sandful side is really good and really competitive and a chance to win here. So all of that combined, it was really a no-brainer looking over all the pros and cons. I had a couple of pros and cons lists, and I was looking at it, and me and my wife were like, it's actually a no-brainer to come back, and I'm so thankful I did. I've landed in a great spot here.
And there's obviously a lot of young boys around, and that mentorship is something you've really, I guess, put your hands into and created some great relationships.
Yeah, especially with, like, the younger defenders. Obviously, I played with Mark Keane at Collingwood, but getting to know, like, James Borlase and Paddy Parnell, Will Hamill, playing alongside them a lot. I like to sort of, not like just tell them about my experiences, but stuff that worked for me, and, you know, the elation of getting selected, and you know, the heart, it's pretty much heartbreak of getting dropped for a game. Like, try to sort of guide them through that, because I had great teammates like Jordan Ruffhead and Matthew Boyd that helped me through my career navigating those situations and still trying to be a great teammate. So that's sort of what I try to help those boys, and just sort of, I guess, gravitated toward those younger defenders as well, because I usually play against them on the weekend. I'll play with them on the weekend.
And your sister is obviously the captain of the Australian Opals, yeah. Tess. Has she given you any tips leading?
She hasn't probably given me any tips, but I've definitely, I watch her, and from her example, like, she sets a great example. I think Lauren Jackson told her one day, she's probably been embarrassed me telling this, but like, she was the best captain she's ever had, and I was like, she's arguably the greatest female basketballer ever. Yeah. So just try to watch her, especially on TV, like how she carries herself, because she's not like the best player. She doesn't start for the Opals when they play World Cups and stuff. She comes off the bench, but she's always like heaps of energy, a great teammate. So definitely, like, I see that and I'm like, makes me so proud to be a little brother. So
did you, when you were younger, like, ferociousness in the backyard and yeah, stuff like that?
No, 100%. We had a school, we lived across the road from the primary school in Williamstown. And someone, we were like, oh, Dad, we're going across the road to play basketball, and he'd just shake his head. And someone would come home crying every time, like, covered, like, knees all bleeding from, I used to try to take charges on the cement, like.
You mean, like, what is it, 2-on-2?
So my brother's 8 years older, and my Tess is only 2.5 years old. So it used to be me and Tess onto Ben.
Yeah, okay.
And, like, he was, like, 16 and I was, like, 8. So he'd smoke us. But, we tried to get him back a bit later on when he sort of got too old. And, But no, he was a good basketball player. He played for Australia and Sydney Kings and stuff, so it was always pretty competitive.
Yeah. Something in the waters for you. You're all very talented, aren't you?
Oh, a bit of talent. I think it's more the mindset driven, and the drive, like probably a bit sadistic sometimes when we're in our prime. So, yeah.
And just touching on like the sample, you've obviously been a part of it for the past couple of years, and there's a lot of talk about like the sample, I guess, Crows and Port leaving to the VFL. Are they different? Like, you've played in both now. What's the differences?
That's a great question. I think the sample, when I played in the VFL, if you played like a Casey who were Melbourne affiliated or like Richmond, Essendon or anything like that, it'd be like pretty much an AFL game, just the standard would be lower. Like, they'd both be trying to play like AFL teams. And then when you play in the VFL, you play like a Williamstown or a Port Melbourne, it was like contested, like hard one-on-one, like real physical. So it's just like playing those games every week in the sample, like those really hard physical games. Like you almost sacrifice a bit of structure to play like hard man, hard one-on-one defence, which is fine. It's just a little bit of a different game where... that's why, like, when I see, like, Lachie Gallant kicking, like, 4 or 5 goals in the sample, I'm like, man, that is, like, that's tough. Like, because he's got blokes draped all over him all game. So that's why he always performs and plays his role really well when he goes to the AFL. So, I guess that's probably the main difference, I'd say.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks for joining me today, Jack. And, it's an exciting year, and good luck with the captaincies, and hopefully the sample boys do well again, because... We're on the up the last couple of years with finals.
Yeah, no, thanks. Hopefully we can go one more and play in a granny this year. That'd be unreal. But, yeah, thanks for having me.
Crows Chat. Completion of the show here at Triple M Crows Chat with Ebony Marinoff and Tomo Ebbs. It's been absolutely super. We saw the Crows play their first home game. Unfortunately, went down to the Geelong Footy Club a couple of weeks ago. But I tell you what, the buzz and the crowd is absolutely insane. So if you want to get your tickets, make sure you do that. Ticketek.com.au. $45 for adults and $15 for kids. It's always best to purchase well in advance, though.
Yes, and absolutely. And get on board for the new Gather Round Guernseys. We've got them again this year. I think they were sold out all last year, but there's still some available. And you can get them from Crow Mania at Westlakes or on game days at Adelaide Oval, or jump online at afc.com.au.